are released at the right time. We are currently embarking on a strategic process of ensuring that our power modes are properly capacitated in the West Africa, as well as ensuring that our work is well within the accepted international norms and standards. This process will not include the development of legislation and policy to guide this work. The participation of victims in the criminal justice system is also crucial, and it is important that the role is elevated at all levels. This participation, in essence, stresses in the members of the community, includes the community, the victim's family, also an extent to offender's own family. Our turnaround strategy in correctional justice focuses on governance, organizational capacity, and culture, facilities, as well as security infrastructure, effective inmate plans, integration and collaboration, as well as an effective development and care program. With regard to governance, Chairperson, we put in place plans to ensure effective and efficient internal controls, as well as ensure that financial management and reporting systems are in place towards an unqualified audit opinion by the Auditor General of South Africa. In terms of organizational capability and culture, we are working towards a capable, performance-driven, and service-focused workforce in the department. When it comes to facilities and security infrastructure, we want to reduce levels of violence in our 243 correctional center and to ensure that no escapes take place. We plan to implement our own build program and skill offenders so that we are able to do maintenance work at our facilities ourselves. We have discussed this with the Director General of the Department of Public Works and want to put our own maintenance plans into place and establish construction teams of officials and officers. The plan is to design correctional centers ourselves at the National Head Office with DDS architects and engineers. We've already appointed two engineers in that regard. And this function will be the responsibility of the Chief Deputy Commissioner in Incarceration and Correction. But the Chief Financial Officer will also have a significant role to play. Chairperson and members, effective image plans must assist us to ensure a reduction in the number of repeat offenders and a reduction in recidivism. Through integration and collaboration, we have achieved the reduction in overcrowding. Therefore, effective development and care programs must assist us towards ensuring that ex-offenders are economically active and accepted into society through effective rehabilitation programs. Central to our multifaceted strategy to turn around correctional services, service delivery is the focus on human resource capital and the strategic resource for build the capacity of the state to realize the ideas enunciated in the regional development plan. We have engaged in a higher pay in the recruitment, training and retention of our personnel, with over 3,000 recruited and over 1,000 currently undergoing training in our two correctional centers, the Correctional Services College. These recruits will have a field entry level position, while also helping to accelerate the transformation of correctional services to a more representative institution in respect of women and people with disabilities. Of the 720 recruits currently at our colleges, 449 are women and 21 are people with disabilities, which represent 44% and 2% of the new recruits respectively. And other crucial data indicative of our shift to professionalized correction includes the fact that 286 of the schools have degrees and diplomas and are reflective of the demographics of our society. In terms of our current issues in the department, correctional services received an improved audit report for the 2015 financial year and was unqualified for asset management for the first time in years. While this is reason for being relieved, is by far not reason enough for celebration. The Auditor General still has serious concern about the credibility of our records or source documents, the accuracy of performance information related to our whole mandate of rehabilitation and incarceration, misaligned operational plans between management areas and regions, as well as legal claims against the department. Before this, another reason suggested that we undertook regional roadshows where we issued the instructions and participated in detailed discussions with area coordinators, head of center, area commissioners, and regional heads. We are also considering the structuring of the department as we need to redirect the bulk of our activity towards the offender and also focus on victims of crime. Our health has to be streamlined and redeployed officials will be able to strengthen operations at center level. I'm keenly aware of the imbalances in resource allocation and no more resources must go towards the core mandate of correction officers. Furthermore, whilst an unqualified audit report in our own jail program are part of our priorities, capacitating officials is also paramount importance. It's for that reason that human resource policies on corporate wear, overtime, performance and career management, remuneration control and self benefits were published last year. All officials were all invited to comment on the proposal qualification for correctional officials for registration on the National Qualification Framework. The chief captain has to go back to the first and second ones. Then there is the issue of the promotion policy. I have already had discussions with the Minister of Police and Organized Labour on separate occasions. We have recognized agreement with Hawkwind PSA. Heads of Enters has been requested to have structured bilateral and multilateral meetings with the recognized unions every quarter and to talk to specific issues in the environment and report accordingly. Our performance in personal services federation and members need to improve and enter the monthly consequences for non-delivery. That is the culture we have inculcated in the department, and it is for this reason that I have decided that the internal control and compliance team will report directly to the CFO and myself as National Commission. Budget and resources must follow strategy and no the other way around. We have become used to plan the wrong way around and we are changing the system. And in conclusion, Chairperson, the statistics of Africa 2014 in victims of crime size records a significant improvement in the perceptions of correctional services compared to the previous year 2014. In the latest survey, the majority, 71.6% of households in the country, were of the opinion that correctional services safely lock away those who have been sentenced. About 2/3 of the population indicates that DPS rehabilitate those who have been sentenced in imprisonment. And finally, Chairperson, Adam, allowing the CDC strategic management to present the annual performance plan of the department. Correctional services, we look forward to a brighter 2016. We will continue to do more to live by the fact of this statement that we say we belong, we care, and we serve. Chairperson and members, at this point, I would like to allow CDC's Katenga to take the committee through the annual performance plan as well as the CFO and to for us the budget allocation of correctional services. Thank you very much.
Thank you for making
the question. Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. My presentation will follow the outline up on the screen there where I'll just remind us of the legislative and policy mandates, the mission and vision, and then the high-level strategic outcome-oriented goals. And then I'll end up with a summary of the performance indicators for the 2016-17 financial year. In terms of the legislative mandates of the DCS, starting with the constitution and the various aspects as listed there, and policy mandates deriving from various white papers and the national development plan. Our vision and mission have not changed. Where vision is to provide the best correctional services for a safer South Africa, with the mission of contributing to a just, peaceful, and safer South Africa through effective and humane incarceration of inmates and the rehabilitation and social intervention of offenders. So in order to be able to achieve this mission and vision, we have three strategic outcome-oriented goals, which basically talk to goal one, which is the remand detention process are effectively managed, ensure that demand detainees attend court and determined by relevant legislation and are held in secure, safe and humane conditions, and providing personal well-being programs and relevant services are provided to awaiting down persons, thus contributing to a fair and just criminal justice system. The second goal, more offenders suspended are being incarcerated in safe, secure and humane facilities and are provided with health care needs and effective rehabilitation programs in line with their correctional sentence plan to enable their successful placement into society after their lawful release. And the third goal being that offenders, parolees and probationers are successfully reintegrated back into their society as law-abiding citizens through provision of rehabilitation and social reintegration programs. So that will talk to the entirety of the five programs of the Department of Correctional Services. Just contextualizing is that we have a 5-year strategic plan in place which covers the electoral mandate period, and also we go through the annual performance planning process So we are in the second year of our 5-year strategic plan execution phase. And linked to our annual performance plan are the operational plans which we monitor on an ongoing basis in delivering on the annual performance plan. So basically we're just given the intricacies of the process. In terms of the planning process, we have tabled the 5-year strategic plan last year in March, and we have tabled, as I said, 16-17 annual performance plan on the 11th of March 2016 in line with the prescribed timeline. We did comply with all the requirements set out by the prescribed framework, and we have ensured compliance throughout the process. In taking a view to the annual performance plan for 2016-17, we did make some minor adjustments which were predicated on operational requirements. Now, we were just indicated on this idea that in looking at our mandate, there hasn't been any major policy shift, so there hasn't been a need to re-look at the strategy, but more to just look at how we are implementing it and the areas of emphasis going forward. So, as either the minor changes that we did do were just to provide more clarity around our performance indicators, and then also around the program rehabilitation and care, we have looked at the educational programs and health programs and targeted them in line with the basic education targets and the Department of Health targets. So that would constitute the major changes that we have implemented for 2016-17. In terms of our contribution to the medium-term strategic framework, we have three performance indicators that are in the MTSF, which talk mainly to the reducing of repeat offending or recidivism, where the first indicator is the percentage of centers for veterans subjected to correctional programs, where the target for 2016-17 is 72%. And then the percentage of parolees and probationers without violation in the given year, which is 96 and 95% respectively. This is just the highlight of the estimate of national expenditure indicators, but I think the detail will be in the CFO's performance on this presentation on budget. So the program structure has not changed. We have a program one, of which we have indicated on the slides where the details is in the actual annual performance plan document. So program one, which is administration, is set out on pages 10 to 28 of the table document. And we have the sub-program management, corporate services, the judicial inspectorate, IT, and finance. So under management, we have the percentage of surveyed people rating correctional services performance positively. We're looking at 50% as the target for 2016-17. And also having an integrated communication and marketing strategy, which will be developed and implemented, and they'll be reporting on that throughout the financial year based on the specific phases as indicated. And then the percentage of officials found guilty of corrupt activities, that is also just to expand on our anti-corruption drive. And we're looking at 95% of cases being finalized. The percentage of finalized legal cases successfully defended by the DCS, we're looking at achieving a 76% rate. Under corporate services, we have our HR and skill development indicators, where under the percentage of 100% growth per financial year, we have aligned that target to the outcome 12 target, which is looking at maintaining vacancies of 10% and below. And then the number of officials trained in line with the workplace growth plan, we're looking at 10,000. And then the percentage of management areas with the integrated health and wellness program rolled out, we're looking at 11 out of 46 targeted management areas, which would give us about 24%, so 23.9. Under finance, instead of the management of our fiscal resources, because the spending or allocated budget, we are looking at spending 99.75%, which would be in the prescribed parameters. And then also, we are looking towards achieving a clean audit and not having any audit verification. From an IT perspective, we We have a percentage of integrated image management system in modules and core business processes completed. We're looking at 44%, which obviously is incremental over the MTM period. And the percentage of correctional facilities and community corrections, airline infrastructure and all that, we're looking at 50%, which is 108,360. And the percentage of annual performance line indicators, which will be automated, we're looking at 45% over the 16-17 financial year. For the judicial inspectorate, we are looking at the facilities that are inspected on the conditions and treatment of inmates. 8 months out of 243 in the 16-17 year, but then that also is incremental over the MTM period. We were looking at 18-19 or 243 centers being covered. Under program two, we have the sub-program security operations, facilities, remand detention, and offender management. So under security, we have the percentage of inmates who escape from correctional centers and remand detention facilities here. We're looking at restricting at 2.24%. And the percentage of inmates injured as a result of reported assaults in correctional centers and remand facilities, that's being restricted to 3.7%. Also, percentage of unnatural deaths in correctional centers and demand special facilities being restricted to 3.3%. Under facilities, the number of new bed spaces created through construction of new facilities, the target of 67 is 435. And then the number of bed spaces from upgrading of facilities, we're looking at an additional 925. Under remand, the percentage of facilities with continuous risk assessment rolled out, we're looking at 69 out of 161. And then on offender management, we have the percentage of overcharging correctional centers and remand detention facilities in excess of approved capacity. So we're looking at keeping it to a minimum of 32% in excess of capacity. Percentage of offenders profiles submitted by case management committee. We had 89% of those being finalized once during the financial year. And the third program, which is rehabilitation, we've got correctional programs, offender development, psychological, social, and spiritual services. So under correctional programs, we say the percentage of offenders who are subjected to correctional programs, we're looking at 72%. And then under offender development, there are three indicators. Or the form, the percentage of offenders who participate in school development program, where we are saying that it will be 80% who will be go under skills training and 80% under the TVET program. And then under AT and FET, we've got 12,108 and 603 respectively. And then we're looking at achieving a 64% pathway for grade 12 participants. For the psychological and social spiritual services, the percentage of incarcerated offenders and those sentenced to correctional supervision who are involved in social work and service, social work services per year, we're saying that's 67%. And the percentage of inmates who are involved in psychological services per year, we're looking at 16%. And the percentage of inmates who benefit from spiritual services is 57%. And then under program four, which is care, we have the health and hygiene services and nutritional services. The health care indicator, there are three of them, which is the percentage of inmates who will be undergoing ART, we're looking at 98%. And then the TB cure rate, we're looking at it as being 85%. And then the percentage of inmates tested for HIV, we're looking at 99%. And the percentage of therapeutic diets besides for inmates, they're looking at that being 15%. And then under the final program, which is Program 5, Social Reintegration, there are the three sub-programs of supervision, community reintegration, and office accommodation. Under supervision, this is where the MTSF indicators also appear. It's the percentage of parolees without violation. 96%, and the percentage of probation and without violations will be 95%. And then the number of persons who will be under electronic monitoring, we're looking at 1,000 for the year. under reintegration, the number of victims and offended by probationers who participate in victim offender dialogue, looking at 9,000 of those victims and offenders. And then 140 parolees and probationers who will be reintegrated to halfway houses and the World Halfway House Commission. And then the number of service points established in community operations, we're looking at 24 for the financial year. So that is basically a nutshell of the performance indicators and target for the 2016 financial year. And if I may, I will just move on to the budget presentation of the CFO.
Thank you, Jefferson, and honourable members. I'm going to present the GND. I think as a, just as a way of opening, Jefferson, I think this financial year and the next 2 years or so within the GND's period, the department, like any other department in government, we will try to do more with less financial resources as a result of the current economic conditions. And that's the department they are really committed to do so. On the second slide, our aim as a department over the medium term will focus spending on protecting society by using inmates in safe and secure and humane conditions and correctional centers, the correcting of offending behavior by providing sentence offenders with need-based education programs and intervention, and lastly, to build a safe community by reintegrating offenders into communities as well as having citizens. These three aims are informed by the structure of the NDP, which our country of which states or people in South Africa shall feel safe. The second slide talks to the breakdown of allocations in terms of programs. The five programs are presented indicate a growth of 10% if you look at rehabilitation. Rehabilitation receives 1.2 billion in 2016-17, 1.4 billion in 2017-18, and 1.5 in 2018-19. That indicates to the committee that we have ensured that with the cut, and we do not cut mainly on rehabilitation, so that we focus on the most of the cuts we affected them on incarceration to ensure that we achieve the goals of the department. I will talk to the rest of the slides, but just to also indicate the committee on goods and services. In 2016, the allocation on goods and services was, after the AENC adjustment, was 6 billion. In 2016-17, that goes down to 5.6 billion, indicating a decline in that allocation of 406 million. This is an area where we have a lot of pressure in this financial year, and therefore we'll be looking at cost-cutting measures in that respect. I just wanted to highlight that issue. The second slide deals with the prioritizations and realignment initiatives by the department. The preliminary allocations to the department received in October 2016 were modified on recommendations of the Minister's Committee on the Budget, which was approved by Cabinet on 18 January this year. Looking at the allocations, I will just highlight in 2016 the total allocation was 20.58 billion after the cut of 10 million on compensation of the budget. In 2017, the allocation is 21.577 billion, an increase of only 4.8%, 23 billion in 2017-18, and 24.7 billion in 2018-19. The average growth over the period of our allocation is 6.3%. The next slide would like to share with the committee the reductions that we effected on the 2015 MTF following the cut by as proposed or recommended by the cabinet. Reductions totally took 427.5 million in 2017 have been effected, 1 billion in 2017-18 and 1.2 billion in 2018-19 have been effected against the compensation of employees as well as human services. In 2017, financially 289.5 million was reduced from compensation of employees, where the 137 million was reduced from goods and services. And over the medium term period, there is also further cuts. With regards to goods and services, 86.2 million came from an initial exercise done where all regions and branches and entities with centralized funds were cut 5% on goods and services. A fair exercise was then implemented to make up the balance of the shortfall, and we specifically looked at additional allocations of 15.4 million required to materials for inmates, uniform and staff corporate wear, 7% tax on 15 million on travel and subsistence, 3% tax of amounting to 1.4 million on venues and facilities. This is an area where we have ensured that in the past 3 years, during the cost continuum measures, the department utilizing its own venues and facilities where possible. 33% tax on 9 million rand on IT consultants, and 20% tax on of 950 million on catering for events. And lastly, approximately 9 million tax on fleet management, taking into consideration that we reduced fleet expenditure as a result of investment in fleet in 15-16 financial year. The department was requested to adjust program expenditure compensation, and we have a staff establishment which has not been amended of 2006. We as a department, of course, will exercise stringent control over the stream of posts, the composition of staff program, and take other measures as and when appropriate. The tables have not been amended, that an exercise that is being informed that DGCA and Treasurer will advise the department on the amendment of post-establishment. The next slide just indicates on a year-on-year basis, the second round of cuts due towards the end of the financial year, where there were other cuts on the MTF allocation. In 2017, 281 million. In 2018, 86 million. Whereas in 2019, there is an increase of 223 million. I would just like to move on to slide 10, which provides an overview of 10 programs. What this program will be doing on the next slide. The comments on administration, this program as presented, provides for strategic leadership management support services to the department. The program has got 7,028 posts. Over the medium term, the administration program is expected to spend 12.3 billion, which constitutes 18% of the total growth. On average, the growth from 2016 to 2018-19 is 6.5%. We have reprioritized costs through our own baseline to fund the judicial inspectorate for correctional services. 42 posts in this regard, amounting to 48.9 million over the medium term, has been funded, and this will facilitate or contribute towards achievement of work by the DGCA over the medium term. On program two, incarceration, which has a number of programs as well, security operations, remand detention, as well as offender management and facilities. This program provides for appropriate services and well-maintained physical structure that supports safe and secure conditions of detention with consistent with human dignity of inmates, personnel, and public. The program has got 28,322 posts. There is, of course, due to the custodial element, that is the intensive, and most of the spending goes to compensation for employees as well as infrastructure programs. Funds were also prioritized to reduce the number of estates from correctional centers and remand detention facilities by strengthening staff supervision of inmates and to provide sufficient and effective security equipment in that environment. On the next slide, we'll conclude on incarceration. The program comprises bulk spending at 43.8 billion over the medium term, although the average growth rate over the medium term will be 6.2%. This fund also supports the department's way to reduce the number of inmates who escape, as I mentioned, and the budget is supporting the 8,283 financial. What we have also done in this program is the issue of strengthening case management committees. Both were prioritized in the baseline, where case management committees will be able now to have positions to ensure that sentence plans for offenders are in place and the administration, the elements so that they contribute towards the rehabilitative element of the work within that area. The funds in terms of care financially will be prioritized 193 million in 2017, 206 million in 2018, and 220 million in 2018-19 for compensation of local communities. Program 3, on rehabilitation, provide offenders with needs-based programs and interventions. It has 2,994 homes. The program has received 44.2 billion over the medium term. 69% is allocated to salaries for officials who provide the rehabilitation intervention. This program is the one that receives the bigger growth over the medium term at 10.1%. The rest of the funds are supplied for departmental workshops, which includes wood, steel, textile workshops, bakery, metal factory, and agricultural facilities. The department also manages 21 farms and 96 small size salary needs for self-sufficiency and provides work opportunities and skill development for families. Over the medium term, the department plans to increase the percentage of sentence offenders assigned to correctional programs from 68% to 80% and maintain the percentage of offenders participating in skill development programs at that level of 80%. The fourth program is CARE, which provides needs-based care services and is maintaining the personal well-being of all inmates in the custody of the department. The program has been allocated 6.1 billion over the medium term. The growth rate is 5.7% over the period, with 2003 posts in that program. The bulk of the spending in this program is in goods and services, particularly on provision of food and food supply to provide nutritional services to our inmates. Over the medium term, spending will also focus on healthcare services, providing health services to inmates in order to improve treatment for HIV and AIDS, TB, and promoting personal hygiene and services. The last program, CHEPESEL, is social reintegration, which receives 2.7 billion over the medium term, with a growth of 2.3%. The program has 2,209 posts across the country through community corrections, which provide supervision for parolees and professionals. The program will spending is mainly on facilitating the rural integration of offenders into communities through the effective management of non-custodial services and parolees, and as well as using electronic monitoring and physical visits. Just to indicate on the next slide, slide 17, the breakdown of pay for means of education. Compensation of employees constitutes 68% of the budget or the vote. Goods and services, 26.6%. Also to note that the bulk of the spending goes towards office accommodation, municipal services, charges, triple P payment, which is the private correctional center, agency and support services, as well as contractual payment for repairs and maintenance of correctional facilities. The last percent item is payment for capital assets, which is mainly towards infrastructure spending, security, computers, transport, workshops, and agricultural equipment. The next slide that provides the community with how is our funds allocated geographically between LOCs as well as regions. The all in all, 27% of the budget is centralized at LOC, whereas 22.3% is at regions. The committee should note that as much as it looks like 27% is large because of centralized funds, and those centralized funds amount to 3.6 billion of the 5.9 billion residing in the LOC, and that 3.6 billion is staff and office accommodation of 1 billion, and the payment for private correctional centers, which is also amount to 1 billion, as well as payments or transfers to DPW, Department of Public Works, on municipal services of 840 million, as well as capital works of 788 million. The next slide is just a presentation indicating economic classification. I will move on then to the personnel information. As I indicated, we are at 42,006. And we have vacancies at the end of February of 3,771, of which we continue to recruit over time. The third bullet is on the learners are also trained in correctional services, learnership and career level 4, and these is in a way of our recruitment strategy to ensure that where we are losing on custodial services, on custodial officials, we are able to fill through this learnership. The next slide just deals with the projection in terms of inmates. So our budget is based obviously on these numbers, with those goals that are indicated. But on average, let's see, we are looking at in 1617, 156,132 inmates broken down in terms of parolees, probationers, and sentence offenders as well as remanded. And the rest of the slides from 22 up to 26 deal with the detail of each program, how it has been allocated. And I think I'll pause the chapter next for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Commissioner.
Thank you, once
more. I think at this point, Honourable Chairperson, I'd like to just conclude the presentation by saying that, as we have indicated in our strategy as well as the funding and resource allocation. And therefore, Chairperson, it is still our commitment that with the targets that we have set for ourselves this coming year, we should then indicate a very improved performance in terms of set objectives. In terms of our annual performance plan. We would then at the point hand over to you, sir, for engagement if Chairperson would like some clarification. I do have the entire team here under whose supervision the work has to be done, including myself, and therefore we would be ready to take any clarification and question that the committee wants to put to us. Thank you very much.
Commissioner, since this committee and listening to all your presentations, I've just been asking myself one question. What is the end goal of all these activities? Because I can see the budget. You need increments in the budget, you need capacity, and so on. The NDP says that you need a society that is safe, that feels safe, and so on. I never hear projection as to how are we moving there, what are the benchmarks. Because my own view that perfecting the correctional system on its own is not solving the problem, because the problem is a human being. Now, for instance, you have spiritual care. You have all these stages coming into the question of this. What is it that they are telling the inmate that will help the inmates to be better people on earth, not afterlife? We have the whole question of moral regeneration. There's a movement, not by government. There's a very relationship with those people. And I understood our effort as being that of building a society in which the value of every citizen would be measured by our common humanity. But there's still a racism in the correctional center. There is sexism in the correctional center. Doesn't it mean that there had to be a special focus as well on inculcation of fundamental human values? Because if we can succeed in that, we will actually reduce the incidence of crime. But if we just perfect the system, that people will be arrested, we'll do this, we'll provide this, and so on, but we are not building the character of the people that comes out of the system, then corruption just become an industry which will create jobs and so, for instance, you have learnerships, you have skills development program, but public work through the CETA has learnerships. For instance, in Lembe district, you have 50 construction CETA learners. In Obani, you have 150 learners. But those learners don't even have a place where they can do practical. Shouldn't they take, should the public work talk to yourself and your learnerships and their learnerships and construction CETA learnerships talk to them? There is another program by the Department of Rural Development. They train them, the youth take to the army. When they finish, then they have nowhere to go. So, last week we were talking about the integrated system, which some of us thought is non-existent, but it turned out to be working well, and so on, which is good for you because it will lessen the dependence on you. But there are still many other role players like home affairs, housing departments that should come on board. So in short, I'm just saying that I think we said that before, that maybe these pastors that come into a correctional center and you pay everyone is teaching his own thing, you don't know where they are trying to take these offenders. Shouldn't we have a dedicated program that can be implemented by all of them to say we want to build the character of the young inmates, we want to build a new society in which the value of every citizen is measured by our community, so that we realize that in some countries they will tell you, you can live your life, you can leave your car here unlocked, nobody will touch it. I thought that we should also work towards such a situation where we are so free and feel free that our children, our wives, our properties are safe without any police. So maybe as we talk about figures, we must begin to say how will these figures take us to that kind of situation. Otherwise we become an industry for the creation of jobs and not as contribute to creating the better society that our people are looking forward to. Thank you. Let's come to the hard question. Honorable Sands, Honorable Bongo, Ghana Nagima, Mahaume, Memo Tawakan, of Book of, I'm very sorry, I think she's accepting something. Oh, I see. Actually, I was certainly feeling guilty because I deleted the fragment. I wasn't sure whether you were an official or an honorable member. I'm sorry about that, Honorable Mugausen, you are not welcome. So, Honorable Fels, Honorable Dwango, Honorable Mugausen, Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Maila, Honorable Advocate. Honorable Majake, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chair. My question actually follows on from yours, I think, and that is, what is the purpose of the department? Because I'd like to illustrate this by pointing to slide J, which is the projected inmate and supervision case population funded over the ENE. And if you look at the figures, they very commendably seek to increase the people that are on parole and under correctional supervision by a factor of some 20,000 over the period, and decrease the numbers of people who are sentenced and remand detainees by quite significant amounts. But if you look at then the projected expenditure over the various programs, the program that should be increasing fairly dramatically should be the social reintegration program in order to cope with the greater numbers of people that are on parole and under correctional supervision. However, it is said here that average growth rate from 2015, 16, 2018, 19 is 2.3%. Now that's the increase in projected numbers of inmates, or they're not really inmates, they are people who are serving parole with correctional supervision, is going up by a factor of, you know, several percentage points more than 2.3%. And it comes back to the point that we've made over and over and over and over again in this committee over many years, and that is that there doesn't seem to be, although there's a commitment on the figure, there doesn't seem to be a commitment to put the resources behind the objective the department wants to achieve. In that way too, although the figures are for me slightly confusing, so maybe I need to be corrected, but it seems to me that the percentage of sentenced offenders subject to correctional programs has been decreased. Now, if you want to rehabilitate offenders, then surely you should be providing correctional programs that are going to rehabilitate people. It's just this mismatch that I continuously sense between what the department says it wants to do and the resources that they actually put behind the things that they should be putting it behind. And I'd like some clarification on that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much, Commissioner, for the presentation. We really appreciate the presentation. I think I've just noted that the vision of development is quite in line with the outcome three of the NDP. And that in the main would place a much more responsibility on the department in ensuring that we are able to achieve a particular goal of the NDP. So I see, Chair, the CFO has raised that the bulk of the budget, about 72%, is decentralized the region. I just want to know the extent to which that is also creating some of the problems that sometimes I think COVID. Because from where I'm sitting, majority of those people in the region, they don't come here to account. So if they are in charge of that part of the mainland, the whole budget is going to the commission to come in and account them. Except that the international office is only in charge of 27%. But also to answer the question of Honorable Self-Hagi, I think the issue is still related to what we drive in the committee, that the organizational structure of the department. Because the committee now come here and make a presentation, but the whole organizational structure is not necessarily in charge of it in terms of the demographics. So I think the commitment towards the financial year that we're going to must be to deal with the organizational trust, because this thing having Northwest, Mpumalanga and Limpopo as one province in this dispensation, I think it's creating a problem in terms of accountability and self-performance management. So I think we've got to put more emphasis on the structure of the department, in order to align with the way South African provinces are aligned. So one other issue that will give us problems, Commissioner, if you go to page 15 of the presentation, you see what is said there is annual target 2016-17, and it then gives quarter targets. But the annual target, say 92%. Then I go quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, says target targets made at annual. Then quarter four, it says it gives you back that 92%. So the problem with this is that when you come to give us a report on quarter one and quarter two, we're not having a tangible percentage against which we need to do that particular oversight. So I think we need to go back and let's get it right, so that when you come back to the court, you're saying in quarter one we wanted to do X, Y, Z. Then we're able to say no, X, Y, Z was done. Then we're able to give you 100/100 in terms of the writer. So I think we've got to look at that very, very, very close, because when you come back here, you'll find other people saying, we have not performed, because there's no proper yardstick against which we ought to have measured you. So that's why we have this one saying this, one saying this. But generally, I think that is a matter to not get. So I think the reflections is, I think we have last year to see something like, what did I do to Department of Justice? That the department must be able to report the way they report here in terms of what treasurer wants and what the monitoring evaluation, you know, the president wants. But there are issues that I think they must elevate separately. That are issues that we always raise in the committee, so that we will get an update on those issues, because the issue that one raises policy, they are not necessarily relating to these targets. They elevate those issues so that we know that in terms of the vacancies, how far are we? In terms of the issues that we have raised, the issues that of the spiritual care and so on. But I think to put them in this, we may not get proper answers in the end of the day. So I'm interested on the issue of the progress on this electronic monitoring system. Because there are some issues that we raised in some quarters. What is the progress? Is the department able to manage those issues properly? And then in terms of the agency, I think you will know that when we met the agency, the agency did promise us that the appointment of the new CFO is showing better colors for the department. So how are we in terms of, what is our project in terms of going forward? And so that when the agency comes, the same way we're able to tie him down on what he promised us that time. So, in the public works program, I think we would like to see more engagement on the public works in terms of these offenders having to do this live maintenance. I know the Department of Defense, the some soldiers are no longer fully treated. They are being put into a program where they must do maintenance and so on. To the extent to which you can expand this public health program to have the Department of Corrections doing its own maintenance through the offenders at that. And the issue of internal audit, I think we need to get everything commissioned as early as now. So I don't come for the first quarter report, we're able to give you 100 over 100 without saying anything. Because you've raised the issue of internal audit, very sharply previous. How far are we in terms of ensuring that we put the system in place? But other than that, I think we, from where I'm sitting personally, I think the department is on the right direction. The appointment of the commissioner and the CFO and other staff has put a positive in terms of stabilizing the department. I think I'm a bit proud of the direction that the department is taking going forward. I'm just looking forward that in terms of this quarter, as we do assessment, we are able to have clear things that we are able to take, that this is what they have done. But I congratulate the team for the work they are doing and the report that they presented to us. Thank you.
So, maybe our researchers should also help us. You know, the issues that Honorable Bongo raised, if our researchers highlight them for a committee, so that we don't have to wait for the department to come here for us to be checking what things are being done, so we can follow up an opinion. I think these are the critical things. I mean, things like the structure we have been raising all the time. We should be able to engage with the office even before they come in and say, well, that's the structure, but where are you with that? That's not what we're going to do.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner and the team, the establishment of the Office of the Judicial Inspectorate of Prison or of Correctional Center was mainly to look at the conditions inside the prison, on how prisons, inmates are being handled, and all complaints that are related to their stay in our South African prison. But we do not see much happening with regard to that office. We still see overcrowding in most of South African prisons. Inmates still experience racism inside South African prisons and still experience race and sodomy inside of South African prisons. Not much is being done. And that office is one of the critical offices established mainly to deal with such complaints. And I don't know, I don't get it. What can be the stumbling block in terms of that office for not to function effectively? On one of your documents, slide D, you mentioned that there's additional staff members of about but there's additional staff budgeted for that office. Maybe you can just tell us if those are managerial positions or those positions correctional centers based positions. Because as you move around South African prisons, you don't see the visibility of this office. You don't see what this office is actually doing in South Africa. There are a lot of complaints that we receive during our constituency training. With regard to inmates not having wealth in our prison. So if you can just maybe just tell us more on how, why is this office not functioning to the best of its ability? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, National Commissioner and your team, and our persona. Let me start by thanking the National Commissioner and his team for the presentation and for a slight improvement, which is a theme on what they have presented. But may I be clarified on the following chairperson? I attempted to follow what the sentiment of Honorable Bongo and Honorable Sal, especially on the issue of the department is no longer department of prison, it's department of correctional services. But unfortunately, the budget for incarceration is something like 8%, which is a great concern. And a very important program like rehabilitation and social integration receives just a remnant. So it's really a very, very serious concern. On Honorable Bobo's issue of IT, last session, when we had engagement with the department, we were promised that will be a full report on IT will be forwarded to this committee, but up to now nothing came forth. Again, we were during the presentation we were informed that there was an intake of learners. So during my visit to Olukwa, the management area, I was informed that there were very, very serious irregularities there regarding the intake of learners. National Commissioner, may you kindly make a follow-up on that? Very, very serious allegations. I think on financial, National Commissioner, how do you intend, do you have any tangible plan to reduce the number of old qualifications to zero in this current financial year, as you, in your presentation, you may mention that you intend to reduce that by zero. And then again, back to Bulukwan management area, the uniform issue. The staff there is really pathetic. I'm from for the, I don't know for how long, so you might be knowing better. This color uniform and so forth, so I would like to know what takes place there. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think it relates back to the question of, are we building the character of the people inside so that they can be reintegrated? Because if we are not doing that, it means that our business will be that of incarceration. But also, to do that, it can only be the work of the department. You need other role players, social development, public works, and so on. So this interdepartmental collaboration is very important, because I think this 8% only shows that we are not replicating and not integrating. So I want to repeat that I think our researchers should know this so that we can continuously engage with the department and not wait until they come in.
Thank you very much, Ivan. And thanks the National Commissioner and the team for the presentation. Chairperson, the issue of overcrowding. We always say we agree that the issue of overcrowding is not necessarily an issue for correctional services, but it is a cluster challenge. Now, what I want to understand the question is, what do the other role players do in trying to specifies the issue of overcrowding, because at the end, overcrowding rests with correctional citizens. As the chairperson of it, when we had engagements with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, we touched on the issue of integrated justice. And it was indicated that correctional services is coming to the party. I would like to hear from you as to how you were able to turn the situation around and come to the party, and how do you see your involvement in the integrated services going forward. It commended Commissioner when you mentioned that for the very first time you were able to get the qualified goods in areas which was never into before, which brings me to the issue raised by Honorable Bongo, that although there seems to be challenges here and there, but it seems correctional services now a force to be reckoned with. And not only with the appointment of the National Commissioner in the CFO, but it also affects the issue of teamwork, which is quite commendable. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. I don't want to go back to say there is a lot of good work, and I also want to say we need to assist you to sort of try and give it the better. I do have, I think, without repeating what staff and the chairperson said about the less amount given to local integration. I think it has been said, and I think you have understood, but we have said it several times. I'm not sure what are you if you could just have let us know how what you are really doing about it. Let me just say the consequences of that, like particularly the other inmates that have not permission to appear for parole body. You have, I want to say, I did receive information that actually lawyer, with due respect to my colleagues, really plan to invade your department, because they say there's a lot of money that you can use to sue them for that. You remember the case of Chronobot, I think, which I mentioned to you. You have problems of social workers and psychologists, which are keeping some of these people from appearing before the parole board. And maybe it's not your fault, but you need to do something about it. Because there's possible delays in this company. The others have not appeared for more than 5-6 years from a parole board because of that. It's not unfair. There are also the old ones that were supposed to be there to be given a thing that said, those groups, some of them still incubated. Can you come to the also the question of, and I just want to find out how far have you how much have you used of litigation so far, and what have you planned for it, because you're going to really have to go to court so more often.
question of human resource. I've noticed that there are some people who regard that they are punished. And the following month or two, they are reemployed. It's constant. Do you see anything that they are making should you give it to the department? They will be there, or is it a question of them, like teachers, they carry their policies, they come back and continue. Can you not just get checked that so that you correct it? The question of construction, I mean, we have said it several times that we are trying by all means to reduce the number of constructors that are there in the department generally. This question of lawyer, bringing a lawyer to get another lawyer, and so on. There is a question of which we raised. I'm not sure how far you have, if you can give us the question of carers and design. I think I raised that in that area and asked if it could assist a lot in you in knowing exactly. In reducing the crime in the prison. The other one is the, I'm not sure what is the criteria used in the carrier process. Who decides that a particular thing has to be done and what criteria is? Let me just give you an example. There is a standard in some of the centers in the escape work club. Okay, so nothing wrong with that standard. Very, very good. High standard. And nobody who has gone through that standard. But it has just been changed. A new friend is put in and I don't know what happens to that standard. You get the money for it. The old one, which is in good condition. And the people who were actually involved in changing that didn't think that there was a permissive action. I think the people who were involved in that. Can you know that? And if you do have an answer now, you can assist them. The other one related to that, if you have a very good thing which you are trying to block the cell phone inside the correction cell. And sometimes they only identify a unit, that there is a cell phone that they use. They don't have a mask. They don't go to a particular cell so that officials can go there and find a cell phone. And also that I don't know how, you know, I think that one was a good one, except that I'm not, it's not as effective as you thought you would like it to be. Lastly, is the question of the old question which you promised to bring an answer on, the question of if you resolve the question of the officials of the parole board, what's the difference to that? I thought you said you were going to check on that and you were going to go on court, and so I just wanted to find out. Thank you very much.
This is Mukausha. Tomorrow we'll be having the case here. And the questions that you were put, I think they can be put to that consortium tomorrow. So I hope you'll be here tomorrow again. Honorable Bumgani, there was a question about decentralization. Now, unfortunately, the regional system don't appear to us. Now, if they start putting fences which are questionable, the other question would be, how would the national office pick up those things? Maybe we must talk more about that ourselves and see. As parliamentarians, I was not entitled to visit this place.
to come in. This particular one I did ask is coming from the platform. However, I want to reiterate what you suggested last time. We need to call all regional directors and suggest that so that they get more information, because before there is actually this reservation, but we need also get that some of them. We could call them anyhow you want them to call them, so that we are able to get it.
Thank you, Chair Sipkin. And just to welcome the report as commissioner from the Department of Correctional Services. And to actually indicate that it's noted qualified asset management report that you have actually presented. A big step forward. If you take into consideration the kind of crisis we had with previous insurance asset management and asset count. So if we have managed to go beyond that obstacle, it's really encouraging. It means we are working towards getting unqualified reports. And also to indicate that it's notable to see the decreases you've made in terms of spending in goods and services. Due to your safety measures that have been applied, agency and support services, capital expenditure, that notable. What we also want to know is to have this change in terms of filling all of the vacancies you've mentioned. We can just indicate to us as to how many vacancies at what level and how the process is actually going in terms of filling those vacancies. You've indicated restructuring, which is good, because our position has always been any department is getting qualified bodies because you don't have capacity. So we hope that restructuring will actually then manage to address all the weaknesses that you have actually experienced. But what is starting coming out is the whole issue of provinces and the extent which provinces are also contributing to the situation we have actually experienced over time of qualified deposits, because a sizable amount of money is actually taken to provinces. Are we having enough accountability? Which is a big question. But also in terms of the structure of the provinces, we have always indicated that this is problematic. And maybe, Chairperson, it needs to be something that actually discusses with cabinet again. So that could see that I mean, we shouldn't follow the normal procedure of any province. So that, you know, the factors are in line with the official demarcation charges of South Africa actually make work easier, because, you know, you can't operate in isolation. When you get into your province and your structure is about the province, then you start linking up with all the types of services within the province. It will then become easier. And it will actually make your work to have much more impact. Because for now, when you look at South Africa, the type of money that we put in everything, you don't have a feeling that we get the results of this that you invest in. We are a society that is riddled with crime. And I would actually say I'm saying this because I live in Gauteng. And I know the level of crime in Gauteng. And I know they're not the same people. But you end up with the final product of what the same people have done. And you get concerns in terms of rehabilitation and reintegration into community, or sending those people back into community as a community. But the community that you're sending them back to still has a problem. So I think we need to seriously also look at to what extent your reintegration into community programs play a role also in crime prevention. What community bonus would you actually also have? You know, in housing, for example, you have communities that live, they call them the bush people, family in the park, sizable numbers of communities. And you know, sometimes you wonder whether when you talk about creating convicts and we rehabilitated them, and are they going to go back into those communities? Because this is really becoming a problem. But the point I wanted to make was the whole issue of what role do you see yourself playing in crime prevention? So that you don't just have this vicious circle of crime, and then you take a psychological answer to say, can't they commit another crime? Others are treated criminals in the making. What I would be interested in knowing is the numbers have they reduced? Because previously we had a challenge of about 45,000 remand detainees. It is a good thing that there's some indication as to how far we are. And then also information technology and information communication technology. It will be good to just have some information on progress. And of course, Honorable Mulan has communicated something about generals and things, something that you've been talking about over a period of time. If you can have progress on the deceased, to get an idea to where we are, to deal against starving, rape, in prison, and all of those types of problems, including the whole issue of cell phones. In the previous EDC, when we were debating, what came out was that there were some 32, someone made 32 cell phone calls from the prison. And is your technology now managing to deal with it in terms of what was actually said, so that you don't wait until you are reported? You have a problem that is reported, that you can say that you haven't actually put systems in place. One other thing that is important is that we have so many people that are sitting in prison, with so much money that is invested in that very men sitting in prison. But sometimes you go to some of the prison, I'm not myself to say correctional centers. You go to these correctional centers, find that there's a plumbing problem. I will make an example of Salt City. You realize that there's painting that needs to be done. And when you've got so many healthy people sitting in correctional centers, that means you skilled, you can skill them to become painters when they get released or plumber, so that they actually attend to their own family. And the comment I got was that public works is delaying. But sometimes we can look at how best possible you can use the resources that we've got. If you've got to do skilling and skill somebody to paint, you have to buy paint for the same budget of skilling, rather than wait for the paint to come from the correct end. The Department of Public Works. What I'm saying is that with the people we got, we can actually help improve the type of correctional services that we've got. Thank you, Stephen. About the relationship with MIM, it's very important point that you made. And it goes to what I was talking about country and country. That's actually not the inside of. So much is there in terms of agencies in South Africa. Everybody starts doing their work individually, in isolation. Indeed, you need to form a relationship with institutions, not only moral generation, institutions that actually help to build South African citizens, morally and otherwise. So if there is no ever of the day we can have very good citizens who, instead of actually committing crime, contribute to the development and advancement of the South African society. Thank you, Professor.
On this dependence on public works, I know, for instance, that the president and the deputy president have been launching schools throughout the country, which are supposed to be built by public works, but the Department of Education made other initiatives on their own to get the schools built, and they built many schools. So I don't think that the law says that you must rely on somebody to do things for you, even if that somebody doesn't have the capacity to help you. So I think you should try and be creative and find ways of developing some self-reliant approach
But Honorable Majaki was also saying that something must go to cabinet on the demarcation. But there's also this question of prioritization, which is in my head. And there's no reason why you can't look at the question of rehabilitation and social reintegration and try to find some resources there and strengthen that part. Because if we don't do that, then what Honorable Magaji is saying of people in the pipe, people in this, we continue. I mean, how do we then achieve the type of success that we want unless we really prioritize this budget and focus on rehabilitation and social reintegration? But I think it's a practice in this committee that if there are things that we are not ready to address now, you can go back and prepare a response for us. So don't feel obliged to even talk about things that you are not ready to talk about. Thank you very much.
Before you, Commissioner, there were sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair, before Commissioner, I welcome your response that this is here tomorrow for further engagement. But there were two parts to my question. That led to the staffing, the 42 or 40 staff members budgeted by correction. What is the center base for managerial position? I welcome your response saying that I will further engage with you tomorrow.
You are fully entitled to get a response to all your questions. And you are simply saying that some questions may require this. So the question is not relevant. Commissioner Commissioner.
Honorable Chairperson and members, thank you very much for the comments, questions and reflections. And Chairperson, I must confess that the issues that committee members and ourselves have raised are issues that are extremely important that talks to our regeneration. And also, what are the partnerships that correctional services is involved in rebuilding those that are in conflict with the law? And it would therefore be important that as a department, we provide to the committee an aspect that we talk to what are the other departments that we are partnering with, what are the NGOs that we are partnering with, community-based organizations as well as those that are responsible for the spiritual regeneration and about of citizens. So Chairperson, I would like to commit to providing the committee and ourselves with an indication of what departments are involved in, what organizations, civil organizations are also assisting us. Because from region to region, center to center, the number of non-governmental organizations, community-based, that come on a day-to-day basis to our facilities to talk to issues of morality, and therefore trying to respond to you now, I wouldn't be giving you the good picture. Safe to say that Chair, I promise that I said that we shall provide to you. Indeed, Chairperson, we need to as a department also to be able to provide to the committee and ourselves what is then the purpose of a correctional system and what is that trying to achieve as a nation. Maybe that in short for me to indicate the journey that we have traveled. This department was known before as the prisons department, where there was gross abuse of human rights, where offenders were were beaten up and assaulted to extend where some died during the beating, where gangsterism was at its highest. And with the dawn of democracy and the adoption of the Correctional Services Act of 1998, we have seen how the department has changed. And I must even say at this point, Chairman, that it is not where we would like it to be. There are still incidents of assault. There are incidents where offenders have died unnaturally in our facilities. And there are areas where gangsterism is very rife. And it is then our own resolve and strategy to see how we then change that picture. And therefore, as we speak now, we're putting all efforts to ensure that the gang management strategies that we have in correctional services, as well as inculcating a culture of human rights in our facilities, in our training of officials, that that is maintained and seem to be happening at all of our institutions. We do, however, have challenges, challenges of institutionalization of officials who have been in the system for some time. Also, our facilities do not render themselves to be facilities where human rights are observed because of the warehouse mentality and practice that we have in our facilities, especially where we have this admission of huge numbers of remandees. And what needs to mention the fact that your five big institutions, which we have talked about some time ago, where the large-scale urbanization, then you find that we are warehousing human beings. Facilities that should be accommodating 30, we're having 60, 70, 80 offenders being put into that facility with, in most cases, one toilet facility and one shower, which makes our work also a very difficult one. And then that's why I said that it is also necessary that from the side of the committee and yourself to also help in us in providing some thoughts as to how we can change the situation. And therefore we appreciate your comments in that regard. But Chairman, it's in our resolve that as South Africans and as this department, we're going to do everything that is possible within our power to alleviate the situation where we are able to engage as our players. I should say even at this point, Chairman, from a national point of view, the national efficiency and enhancement committee that is led by the Chief Justice. Also, ourselves having engaged the National Director of Prosecutions and our Justice Department to put up a top team that would look at the reduction of remand detainees at these five institutions, which is Portsmouth, which is Wexford, which is Johannesburg, Pretoria, and to some extent Port Elizabeth and Bloemfontein, where our focus is to make cases move faster, where the mental should be resolved, where a person has to be remanded in custody, which we have looked at all alternatives that should be there. If we fail then to find an alternative, then that person is remanded in custody. But where bail has been arrived at, we need then to make use of sections in the Criminal Procedure Act that empowers us to take this offender back to court for the court then to apply its mind as to maybe an uncustodial bail condition. So we are at a very advanced stage where we have engaged the NDPP and the Justice Department. And Chairman, we should be able to start at Portsmouth, which is an area of extreme concern in terms of the overcrowd levels here, which borders in inhumane conditions of incarceration. So I just wanted to give that perspective to members and yourself, also to indicate that we're working extremely hard to ensure that there's an improvement. Secondly, where is correctional services going? I don't think that I will be able to provide an answer to that. I can only say we envisage a situation where the majority of people that are in conflict with the law are telling their sentences in communities, not serving in facilities, unless it is people that have committed horrendous crimes, that they then pose a danger to society. Those are the people that, at all times, we shall be ready to accommodate in our facilities. But those that are committed offenses that sometimes refer to as minor offenses, and offenses that do not pose a risk to community members and to the citizenry, those people can then serve their sentences outside of our facilities instead of being incarcerated. That is why the review of the parole system that Minister Matsuta referred to last week, Chairperson, during his political overview, and the work that has been done in that regard, shortly we shall be coming back to the committee to indicate what are the results thereof, and then what we would also want to have from the committee is what does the committee think about what we are proposing. Because there are changes that we're proposing in terms of those that are serving less than 2 years, those we call short-term offenders, we would like to hear that, but also the entire structure of parole boards and case management committees we would like to hear from the committee. So a complete proposal in that regard shall be provided to the committee so that we also are informed as to what members of parliament are thinking. Chairperson, I do think that the spiritual care and our priests and the reverends that visit our facilities in correctional services are doing a tremendous job. But what one would also like to make sure of is, as they do this kind of work, it's not only aid at particular indoctrination, or is also aimed at rebuilding South Africans and those that are in our care. And therefore, I think ourselves need to maybe have a look at that to see whether it's also part of moral build in our people. Minister Matsuta launched a youth summit in Richards Bay at Enseleni recently, where partnership with the local municipalities, partnerships with community-based organizations in the crime-fighting campaign that we have as a country, where they are then going to be included and they get the involvement. But mainly focusing on awareness, on drugs and substance abuse, but also on how communities can benefit from correctional facilities that are in their midst, in terms of skill development, experiential training, and work employment opportunities. So we're rolling that out in the entire country. Shortly we shall have certain engagement also led by Minister Matsuta in Mangaung, in Bloemfontein, and then also there are plans to roll that out in other parts of the country, especially where young people are in conflict with the law. President, I want to assure committee members and ourselves that the correctional services is very much involved in as far as crime awareness is concerned. And from time to time, our offenders go to particular schools where there has been incidents of criminality, where they talk to offenders, to the students about crime, about the influence of drugs, and also the choice of offenders. There are offenders that are on a weekly basis go out to school. But also, Chairperson, there are those schools who take over their students to our facilities to just show them what crime does to young people, for them to see that. But in a prison setting or a correctional center setting, there is no freedom. You are locked up like an animal and you are subject to conditions of incarceration that are very much different to conditions outside, and they are trying to create awareness in our own pupils and students. And the work that our officials, especially those in community reintegration, are doing is very much commendable. Chairperson, I'm here with a team that would also assist in areas where I may have skip some of the comments and clarity seeking questions and members. Those that I've noted here, I will also do my level best to respond to. We have discussed as a department, citizens and members, that when a person gets admitted in a correctional setting, it is not only lock and throw away the key. You enter a correctional setting. The officials at gate, the officials in the unit, whose work is not only to lock up or to do custodial duty. We have officials present that are allocated under incarceration, who also render correctional programs to offenders. The officials who are working in case management committees that are also allocated in incarceration. The officials that whose job is to also assist in the paroling of offenders. I'm trying to say, Chairperson, we are looking at how do we then reflect those officials whose responsibility is not only to render custodial service, but also to assist in the eventual correction and rehabilitation of offenders. That's why the program incarceration seems to be only focusing on what we used to say security work, and that is not the case. And therefore, at the time when the committee would be ready, but also I need to say this, Chairman, that committee members of parliament are free to visit any correctional facility at their own time. But one would like to take the committee through an admission process where offenders come in, are being orientated and inducted, and the way that then runs down up until the lockup. There's a structure-based program that these officials who are allocated under incarceration programs are rendered services. Now, how we reflect that has been a problem. We are engaging national secretaries for assistance so that we can then indicate what is it that the officials are doing other than custodial services. And I do know that I may not have effectively answered the concern that the Honorable Self has raised, but this is a point that he has been raising, and we have not been able to respond to it adequately. And that's why we then need national secretaries for assistance so that we can then reflect that kind of work that needs to be done. Chairman, the DCS organizational structure, and I want to indicate even at the point that on Sunday we were sitting with Minister Matisa to discuss the organizational structure and to take him through what we were thinking could be a solution. But I need to say after that the re-demarcation of provinces is the way that we are going on, that we should not have these combined regions as they are giving us a challenge in terms of management, accountability, and responsibility. And therefore, we are going on to the provincial setup as we know it in the Republic of South Africa. But we were, with Minister, looking at how to the head of this and streamline and the structure, and also where it is necessary to have the 4 layers that we are in. Members must know that we have correctional center level that happens at your local, which is in the town, and then we have an area, and then we have the region, and then national. Now, your region and area level almost does the function of your province, if you might say in that way. So we're looking also at that, whether it is not necessary to amalgamate the two, and then take the department then forward to ensure that resources are placed where work is done. It is our commitment that the bulk of our resources must be at center level. And members are correct to say 72% of the budget then goes to where centers are located. Because 10% at the head of it and at the regional level, there are no people that are wearing yellow and orange uniform. So the bulk of our work, the rehabilitation, the correction, the skilling, the education need to happen at center. And that's where we would like to redirect all of our resources. Chairperson, Honorable Bongo is quite right that it is going to be important that as we move from quarter one up until the last quarter, we are able to indicate what has been our achievement. Even though we have an annual target, we should be able to say, with the intervention that we have put in terms of vacancies, this is what we have achieved, because we should know as we enter into every month, the vacancy rate is at this level, and therefore our impact can be shown to members of parliament and to ourselves. And sitting here, I was even thinking that a person, maybe in terms of this critical area, we should then be providing that information to the secretariat, so that when and necessary, the retention component should then be able to provide to the committee the benefit of that information. Chairperson, how do we want to move the Department of Correctional Services from a qualified audit opinion to an unqualified one? We have seen cases, what is it that we want to do? But I think most importantly, firstly, is to put our governance structures in place. Chairperson, we have been having a serious problem in terms of our own policies, a serious problem in compliance thereto. And therefore, what we are putting now, referring to all of these other areas, from national office, because that's where our sense of power is, to put consequences of for non-compliance right from the get-go. And as we were closing the last financial year, myself and the team had gone around to all regions, had discussions with the regional commissioners, and then made everyone know that come 2016, starting January, issues of non-compliance are going to be taken seriously and accountability is going to be shown. It is important, then, therefore, that we then focus also on an audit function, because that's where we have been found to be wanting, where reports are submitted to the Auditor General and Audit Committee, and yourself without anybody having access and ensuring that there is consistency in the reports that we are giving, but also importantly, that the reports are correct. And therefore, that function also needs to be strengthened. Secondly, what we're looking at is eventual automation of the entire Correctional Services Department, so that we are able to move as one at a given time. We have said to yourself, Chairperson and Member Sasha, we're not moving as one unit, region and center, that they're having their own systems. And part of the automation is to put up a standard of operation, so that we are then able to, all of us, have a single view of the information that we would have. Thirdly, Chairperson, I think for us, is also to ensure that training of officials in terms of submission of reports, capacitating them is also going to be important, and as we go forward to ensure that. We have looked into the area of risk management, Chairperson, when we've done another assessment again, and with the audit committee that are currently having, Chairperson, I must also state that we've had a wonderful cooperation and guidance, and from time to time when we meet, they indicate to us these areas you must attend to, and we need a report in our next meeting. And that has been the manner in which we have been doing this work. But maybe just to conclude, that is specific focus on predetermined objectives. What we have put into members of parliament in terms of our annual performance plan, we will then, when we report back, we report actual performance. We'll look at source documents, which has been a challenge, and also check the integrity of our data. Importantly as well, Chairperson, because it's still an area of risk, asset management, and as well as contingent liability. But with regard to finance, Chairperson, because the Auditor General has been saying, and on record to say that there has been a report in terms of financial management that he has not been sure of, where balances and opening balances were not the same. The CFO and his team are currently working on to ensure that in that regard we are performing well. Chairperson, unless that you raise the issue of the Judicial Inspectorate Operational Services, and the members of parliament are very much correct to say that that is the objective of having a Judicial Inspectorate of Correctional Centers, to look into issues of human rights, whether conditions of incarceration are in line with our own legislation, but also compare favorably with international standards. And the office of the inspecting judge shall be here tomorrow to come and give an account. But we need to say that because of change, we have been changing the department and introducing the office of the inspecting judge. There have been challenges that the inspecting judge has indicated to us in terms of They are numbered where they are not able to do all facilities. Sometimes they have one official care center, and that is why they have then decided that they are going to assist them, because without the purpose of the inspecting their correctional services, we will never be able to correct all of these challenges that they have themselves. We need that oversight from the office of the inspecting judge. Maybe we shall provide a better picture of, for these possible additional positions, where are they located? Is it only at the head office of the judge or also at correctional center level? But we have been trying by all means to assist them in terms of finances and other resources. Chairperson, the ICT report, and I must apologize, Chairperson, and maybe let them call me Mr. Apology. We needed to have provided that report, and that report is available, and I'm surprised that we haven't provided that to the Secretary. We shall make it a point that today we provide that. The leadership irregularities, I can assure the honourable member that I'm going to follow up, but also on the issue of uniform, Chairperson. We were very challenged before. In and around September, October, the last uniform that we had at our main depot, which is at WeBank, we had distributed to correctional facilities, because currently we are about to finalize a specification on the provision of uniform officials. And once we have done that, I think we'll also take the committee through that, so the committee can see what are the processes that we have observed in terms of the provision of uniform officials. Chairperson, uniform is a problem. There are instances where officials do not have shoes, instances where officials have to patch up their trousers, and so forth. And it is an area that we have prioritized as well, as one of those that we need to do as a matter of agency. Overcrowding in correctional facilities, Chairperson, as I said, it is not only our problem, and I'm happy that members also are saying that. But what is important, Chairperson, we are sitting with the challenge of overcrowding. And therefore, if there are violations of human rights, they will tend to come to correctional services. And we should then therefore be able to move forward and go back to the court that have sent people back to us to say, we are overcrowded in terms of the very amendment that this committee and other members of parliament have approved in this organ house of parliament to say, when the numbers are of such a nature that you are not able to cater for everybody, go back to the court accused, so the court can then put in place a non-custodial condition. Chairperson, the issue of litigation, I think we shall not be in a position to provide that, but we do have the figures for the concluding financial year, and we shall then indicate to members and provide that to the Secretariat. It is true, Chairperson, that there are cases where lawyers feel that they can take correctional services on, and that's why we are getting quite a lot of assistance from the Minister and the team around him to provide us with guidance. We will be having a workshop for all of the attendees in the department where we are going to see what is it that we can put in place to show that if there are litigation cases that we attend to them, because some of them are as a result of the apathy in the department administration itself, where we are not able to respond adequately to queries that are sent to us. So we will then be looking at that. But offenders think us to call chapters mostly on conditions of incarceration and detention, secondly, for parole. Now, some offenders feel that in their time they should have been released. And mostly your lifers. Your lifers are not like those uneducated, literate offenders of the past years. They know the law, and therefore, it is important that we as a department, whose responsibility is to incarcerate and detain, we are also, all of us, understanding of what is the expectation of the law, what does the law want us to do. If an offender qualifies for consideration, the offender should be considered. And in the event that the offender is not, has not been found to be ready for release, we should then also be in a position to say that. Lifers, Chairperson, has been taking our continuously to court, because of the credit system in our facilities and also for the minimum consideration period. And in those cases, there have been rulings, the Van Vieren ruling and the Van Dijk ruling, according to which all lifeguards have to be subjected to who were in facilities at that time of the credit system and the minimum detention period. And that's what we need to do. And that's why we are heading to the backlog and trying to work it out. So far, we are at a very advantage to complete that consideration period. What is important, though, is to also raise the point that the release of all lifeguards ends with the Minister of Justice and Correctional Services. And he is the only person that can say, yes, this lifeguard can go or not. And that is why, every time when there are litigations, the first responded is Minister of the Department. But we can assure the committee that we are dealing with this matter, and very soon we shall bend the corner to ensure that all those that millions will be considered have been considered, and there is no backlog as to whatsoever intent of those. But the main challenge now, as we've seen in the case at Portsmouth, when offender took us to court, constitutional court, and won a case in terms of TB, and also the others that keep on taking us to court because of them feeling that we are not keeping them under humane conditions. It shall be a matter that goes on and on because of the overcrowding levels in our correctional facilities. The cameras themselves, I think the discussions have been concluded. Correctional services is also in agreement that we have to put in cameras, in corridors, cameras in particular also as to see what is happening there. And it's now a matter of us developing policy and implementing that, but also coming back to indicate how we're going or how we intend going that route. It is important to mention the fact that we have consulted the Human Rights Commission and also the Office of the Inspecting Judge. What we instead have to do is to involve the National Council on Correctional Services so that they also can give their go-ahead with regard to cameras. Because of the atrocities that happen behind bars after lockup time. Passing, myself, cell phone blocking. The department has gone to a very large extent in ensuring that all new facilities that we put up shall have a cell phone detection system built into the security arrangement. What we are looking at now is to, because there are so many guys in the market, some very small that you can put up at a particular place that can block cell phone using utilization, is to see what is the best equipment that we can put up at particular correctional centers without sending telegraphs out. So we're working on that. We should be in a position by the end of this financial year to have indicated to this committee, this is what we have done, and this has been the result. Because services, the Honorable Member is quite correct that a number of calls have been made from our facilities. There are these offenders that are having 3 to 4 cell phones in their possession, and they are actually intimidating also some witnesses and victims of crime. Chairperson, I must confess that even with myself over the weekend, I received a number of calls from offenders, some of whom complain of their parole, complain of conditions, and so forth. It is a serious problem that I discussed with the current acting Commissioner of Police, General Patane. So I also have discussed it with the State Security Agency as to how they can assist us in addressing this problem of cell phones in our facility. I can safely say that I believe in our next meeting, I will then provide a report in this regard. So this is what we are going to do going forward. Chairperson, the attendance of a Kula committee by regional commissioners and regional heads, one will receive a request from the committee that we would like the regional commissioner of the Western Cape or all regional commissioners to attend. It shall be done. It is only at the behest of the committee that the committee can indicate that to us. And then, Chairperson, lastly, the remand detention numbers. Chairperson, Ms. Rodman will provide to the committee what are the actual numbers now. We have worked extremely hard to bring this number down. We have got a knockdown. That means we have 44,000 remandees in our facility and 116,000 of sentenced offenders. It brings us to a total number of 160,817 offenders in our facilities as at lockup last night. We have brought just 44,000. We have brought it to 44,000. In the past 6 to 7 years, we are at 70,000, and we are still waiting on getting to a manageable total of at least around 30,000. And it is our commitment with our partners in the criminal justice system to bring this total down. Chairperson, if there are any other issues that are raised, colleagues here, I'm happy to help. Thank you very much.
The only thing is that I think we have disappointed your team, because I can see they were well prepared, they wanted to have a say, but now they've covered everything so well, and that may be a distinct thing for them to prepare. But I think they would have I'll just ask you to have the other questions that have not been answered. You two of can do so in writing, including the front thing that I raised and the question of human thought, and people resign and be in court. You will deserve the silent commission on the afternoon. But thank you very much, Mr. Kushin. I think that was a very comprehensive. We are all happy with that, and well
appreciated. Thank you, Chairperson, and honourable members.
What is the